Lamb of God, pure and holy. This beautiful Lenten hymn is our theme for this Lenten season. And tonight we turn our attention to the third line of the hymn we've just sung, where we confess the Lamb of God, who is ever patient and lowly. Thus we fix our attention on the patient Lamb of God. And in the text that we read tonight, St. Peter speaks of the example of Jesus, and we're all ears to hear. A lot of you kids probably made Vacation Bible School, some of you children with us tonight. Little jewelry maybe, or maybe some kind of other article with some letters on it. What do the letters stand for? WWJD. Kids, what does that stand for? There's a couple of kids here. I know it's a little weird to speak up in church. Micah? What would Jesus do? Right. You adults know that too. Well, it's been a question in uppermost in people's minds for some time now. And we wouldn't mind a few pointers ourselves. What would Jesus do in my shoes, we wonder? Life does become pretty complex, a bit overwhelming from time to time, and it would be great if we could just ask the Lord to give us some pointers on how to respond to the challenges and the tough questions in life, especially some of the more unpleasant situations that we face in life. God knows a school of hard knocks leaves us battered and bruised most of the time. And most of the challenges we face in life, we haven't deserved. But despite our best efforts to play by the rules, they still keep coming. We try to lead a godly life, we often end up with the short end of the stick. So while we're licking our wounds, we wonder, is there another way perhaps? Is there something I'm missing out on here? Why do these bad things keep happening? In fact, could Jesus provide us with an example of how to handle an undeserved opposition that we face? I mean, wouldn't it be great, perhaps, if we could take his example and go into the temple of our troubles with a whip and just chase the bad things out and the people who oppose us? Maybe a whip and a few well-chosen angry words would teach people a thing or two? Well, just what do you do when you do good and you suffer for it? Is there another way? St. Peter, in this Bible reading, his first letter, leaves us no wiggle room. You want to know what to do when you suffer for doing good? Suffer on, he says. To this we were called, are the words that we read. Because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. The patient Lamb of God, you see, does not just mean a lamb who is tolerant and enduring. Patient means suffering. And that's what we're thinking about tonight, considering the suffering Lamb of God. He is our example, says Peter. He's the one who suffered for us. And this suffering lamb, this patient lamb, is not just an example or a mentor in suffering. Rather, he is the sufferer par excellence. Jesus wrote the book on suffering. He wrote it in his own blood. He, the one who suffered for us, was called us now to suffering. Jesus' words, you remember, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me, says Jesus. So we Christians shouldn't be surprised when he calls us to follow him in some kind of suffering. It's a part of the deal. Along with Jesus comes his cross. You really can't have a Jesus without the cross. That's not the authentic, true Jesus if he's not having a cross. The very reason that Jesus left the Father's throne and came down from glory was to lower himself all the way to death and even to death on a cross. Jesus came to lay down his life as a ransom for sinners. And this is the measure of his love and the Father's love for a lost world and a fallen world. St. John wrote, "In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son as the payment for our sins." Yes, this Jesus whom we love is the patient Lamb of God, the suffering Lamb of God, who suffered for us. He left us an example, Peter says, so we could follow in his steps. Make no mistake about it, those footsteps are marked by hardship and suffering. "Come, follow me," says Jesus. And then he walked that sorrowful road to the cross. The very fact that we would follow Jesus will get us in trouble. It gets us in trouble with the world. It gets us in trouble also with the devil. We get in trouble with the devil and the world because they are allied, working together against Jesus, and we are aligned with Jesus. We belong to him. And so it shouldn't surprise us then that the going can get tough in this world because the enemies of Jesus are our enemies too. We keep wondering what went wrong when things go bad in our life. We think if that we're on God's side, well, then everything should go well, right? But that's not the case. No, says St. Peter, "to this you were called," he insists. "Because Christ suffered for you, you ought to expect to suffer when you have done nothing wrong, because you are a follower of Jesus. This is the life you inherited because you belong to Jesus. Following in his steps means that you will share in his suffering because you have the same enemies that he has. These sufferings, therefore, mark the authentic Christian life. They show that you belong to Jesus, the patient Lamb of God. Now, I don't want you to think that we're masochists. In other words, that we go out looking for trouble. In other words, "I'm going to see how I can suffer for Christ today. You know, come on and take me out." No. True, that's just half the story, that Christ has suffered for us and no deceit was found in his mouth. These words are quoted from Isaiah the prophet, where we see the full extent of the trials and the suffering of Christ. And the full passage says, "He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth." You see, for Christ, it's a package deal. The patient love of Jesus for his church, it includes not only suffering, but for Christ, it also includes his death. This is how we say it in the Apostles' Creed. "He suffered for us under Pontius Pilate, died, and was buried." So when, on these Wednesdays, you know how we read from the Passion of Jesus? This year we're reading from Matthew. It's not really so we can feel sorry for Jesus in our hearts, all that he went through at the hands of those bad people. Because really, those conniving characters didn't really do it to him. Rather, it was the deliberate plan of God to make Jesus the victim so that we could go free. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his wounds, with his stripes, rather, we are healed. So the phrase that we say, the passion of Christ, you know, that doesn't mean his devoted feeling or his consuming desire of Christ. But rather, it's his suffering and all that's included. That's what the passion means for us. And St. Peter here gives us the shorthand version of that. He says, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." That about sums up the suffering of Jesus. From his first words on the cross to the last words of his death, he's confessing this. His sole concern is to do the Father's will and to give his body and shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, he didn't utter a word in self-defense. At his trial, or no revenge came from his mouth from the beginning to the end. Instead, Jesus began his suffering on the cross by saying, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." And then he ended it with his last words, saying, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Now that is love for you. Love never seeks its own way, but it pours itself out for others. That's what real love is. And at the cross, we see love incarnate, pouring out himself for the sins of the entire world. This is a patient love. This is a suffering love. Having loved his own, Jesus then loved them all the way to death, even to the death of the cross. That's the measure of his love, the patient Lamb of God, the suffering Lamb of God. As I said before, we are not masochists. We don't go out looking for suffering. Only sick people enjoy that. And we Christians are not sick people. We don't seek out suffering, but we will take it when it comes our way because we know that it goes with the territory. Peter says, "To this we were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." But I have to remember that suffering is never an end in itself. The suffering of Jesus on the cross was not for its own sake either. And the recitation of his passion during these 40 days of Lent, as we gather on Wednesdays and hear the story once again, that's not an end in itself. St. Peter reminds us when he says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness." So now, we're really getting somewhere. Now we arrive at the heart of the matter concerning the patient Lamb of God and his suffering. It had a redemptive purpose. Jesus suffered not because he enjoyed suffering for others, but rather for the joy that was in it, that was set before him, the eternal salvation of all who by faith, who would embrace what he did for them, would receive the benefit of the salvation he won for the world. The reason Jesus was sacrificed was that he was the sin bearer, the one who carries sin as a load where we cannot carry it. He bore our sins, all our selfishness, think about that, all our arrogance, all our impenitence, all our stubborn refusal to love God above all things, and then to look around and see our neighbor and love them above ourselves. All our impatience and our petty irritation with God, with other people. All our refusal to let God be God, and all our prideful attempts to build ourselves up by tearing others down. Each and every one of those sins of ours alone deserves death. Just think about what they deserve all piled together. So it's no wonder that Jesus died, even though he is a God who cannot die, for he is our sin bearer. He bore all our sins in his body. And then Jesus, the patient Lamb of God, bore our sins in his suffering and death. He bore them away. He removed once and for all the death penalty and all that stood against us. And in a mysterious way, the Bible says that we died too. St. Peter explains it this way. He says, "So that we might die to sins and live to righteousness." Here is where Christ's patient obedience becomes our patience, since by the grace of God, all our impatience and all our ungodliness and all of that stuff was given to Jesus in his death. But and we have not just a new way of life, we have a whole new life. So now, when we are insulted, we need not retaliate. When we suffer, we need not threaten. And boy, that's good to know. You may have suffered a lot because of the words and actions of others over the years. You're not alone. Many of us might be called the walking wounded, right? It's a tough, dark world out there. And in such a world, people get hurt. But we remember that when Jesus was wounded for your transgressions, he also took your hurt with him to the cross. Isn't that good to know? Not only your sins did he take, but your hurt. By his wounds, you have been healed. Your hurt comes to an end when he who cried out in triumph that day at Calvary, "It is finished." That's the end of your hurt. You don't have to carry that hurt with you any longer. You've been freed from that. Jesus bears your griefs and he carries all your sorrows. There is healing in his holy body and his most precious blood. So you see what that means? We don't have to repay evil for evil. We don't have to do that. We don't have to repay abuse with abuse. For we have died to sin and are alive to righteousness, and that not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. This righteousness is the very righteousness of Christ himself. We don't have to ask, what would Jesus do? Because he himself lives in us by faith, and we are alive in him. As St. Paul writes, we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. A whole new life in Christ, and in his righteousness is yours then too. Take it then. God's offering it. Take it and go with it into life. Live in him as he is alive in you, this patient Lamb of God who bore all your sins in his own body on the cross. By his wounds, you have been healed. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.